I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the Timu to having a real job. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Justin, look at this. Us recording on a Wednesday. An episode on a Wednesday. Who would have thought?
It's like Christmas. Oh, wait. It's another bloody holiday. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's a fixture disruption. I was going to make some religious joke, but I thought I'd stay well clear.
You already did that in Sunday's episode. Stay well clear, please. Yes, for those who are a bit confused about why we're releasing an episode a day earlier than usual, it's because of the Easter weekend games. So we've got the games on Good Friday, which means all the episodes this week are a day earlier than usual. Hence why we're doing the midweek show on Wednesday. The preview show will be out tomorrow on Thursday. Before we start, Justin, I was wondering if you wanted a quote from the Book of Warnock, the qualified chiropodist, as he's also known.
Yeah, the guy who likes an ingrown toenail. Yeah, go on, give me one.
Give me a page number, please.
Ooh, 33. How many pages are in there?
There is 120.
Shit, that's quite a lot.
About three quotes on each page, so there's a lot of quotes in here.
They tracked that out.
So this first one is about when Neil Warnock gave a V sign to Norwich manager Nigel Worthington after an away defeat. I won't deny that I flipped my fingers in his direction, but only because I was so disgusted and frustrated at being humiliated by a fellow manager. If the same circumstances arose, I would do the same again. I held out my hand for 6 or 7 seconds, but he kept on talking and turned his back. There was no mix-up. He even looked me in the eyes.
He's just so bitter, but it's wonderfully bitter, isn't it? I love it.
If you think that's bitter, Justin, would you like to know the other quote, which is about Gary Megson?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Give me that Gary Megson quote right now.
Anyone who knows Gary Megson knows he is the biggest moaner around.
I thought it'd be worse than that. Yeah, he's stating facts there. I don't know if Gary Megson is or not, but yeah.
I'm sure in the book there is more Gary Megson quotes because he was never a big old fan of old Mego, was he?
Yeah,
was
Neil. Battle of the Bramall Lane, put paid to that relationship.
Exactly. There you go. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, you may have guessed from the title of this episode that we're going to be going through some of the free agents in the championship, or soon to be free agents, we should say. Some of the players who are out of contract in the championship this summer and making a lovely 11 out of them. But we're not just doing that. We're also going to be talking about some of the news from the past couple of days in the championship, including the comments made by former Norwich sporting director Stuart Webber. And we'll also do some of the footballers our listeners have met in strange places as well. But let's kick things off with our free agent 11. Got to be said, there's a lot of talent going for free this summer, isn't there? I was looking through it and I was quite astonished at some of the players who are available on a free this summer.
Well, it's always the case, isn't it? You always are surprised. I think the standard of players got better as it went forward in the positions, because I think the sort of goalkeepers and defenders, as you'd expect, there's a few ageing players at the wrong end of their careers, coupled with long-term injuries coming back from them and not really committed to contracts yet. But then you get to the attackers and, my God, there are some good attackers available, really good attackers. And there's even more, actually, that have got options to extend. So they've not even agreed new contracts yet. Likely to stay at the clubs beyond the end of the season. They're not going to be included in this 11, but it's still astonishing that those players haven't got new deals yet.
I will point out I've missed out the players who have got options to extend because I just can't be bothered with all that hassle. but I think you're actually doing a disservice to the defenders and goalkeepers, Justin. The defenders and goalkeepers, there's some very good players there. And I will say, there's quite a few players in this 11 who will genuinely be in the conversation for the coveted second-tier team of the season when we do that in just over a month's time, which is quite astonishing in itself. But let's kick things off, Justin, with the goalkeepers. Who caught your eye who's out of contract in the summer in the goalkeeping department?
Well, I know who you're going to say for yours, so I'm going to avoid that one, or I'm going to assume you're going to be saying that one. If you don't, then we can bring him up. But I'm going to go with Christian Maltin. I'm going to go with Christian Maltin, who's available on a free transfer. He's obviously a very good keeper, and I think he's been very unfortunate to pick up an injury earlier on in the season that essentially allowed Vlachlav Hladký to come in as number one at Ipswich. He was incredible last season in League One for Ipswich, you know, save after save, a lot of clean sheets. And I'm assuming he's going to have plenty of suitors if he doesn't sign a new deal between now and the end of the season. I still think he's about 23, 24, but I think he's actually close to his 30s, which is an interesting. And he's absolutely massive as well. He's really tall, which is exactly what you want in a goalkeeper.
I will point out, I'm pretty sure Walton has a year option in his contract. It's one of them where it's really annoying, the whole year option thing, but I'm pretty sure that's the case with him. But the person who you... I assume you were mentioning just a second ago, Justin, is his teammate, the person who's outdone him this season in terms of the goalkeeping department, and that's Vaclav Hladký, who, may you remember, Justin, was in our team of the season so far in the goalkeeping department when we did that just a few months ago. So the fact that he's out of contract this summer, he could be a pretty decent pickup for any Championship side, assuming he doesn't sign a new deal at Ipswich, couldn't he? So he's got to be the standout for the goalkeepers. The other person who caught my eye was Alex McCarthy at Southampton. Now, he's not played much this season. He has very much been second or even third choice at Southampton. But I was quite interested to see that there was an article from just over a year or two ago that stated that Alex McCarthy was the second highest earner at Southampton. So the fact that he may be relieved of his duties at Southampton in the summer is quite interesting on that account, because he must be earning a pretty healthy wage, which is not bad when you are essentially a backup goalkeeper for Southampton. Do you know what I mean?
It's a pretty decent gig, isn't it? But he's one of the best second choice goalkeepers I can think of, because every time...
Former England.
How many caps? One? Two, three.
Yeah, it still counts.
It still counts. It still counts. Yeah, exactly. Former England. He's one of those keepers that whenever he's come into the Southampton team because of first choice goalkeepers getting injured, he's always been brilliant, and he's always played himself into that number one position, and then unfortunately either dropped off, form dropped off, or just been replaced. And he's obviously been playing second fiddle to Gavin Bazunu all season. I think maybe Bazunu has been quite lucky to have not been dropped, because he's not been as assuring as he could have been. But McCarthy, certainly one of the better ones. I think he's 34, 35 now as well, which is a good age for a goalkeeper, I think.
Yeah, I think he's still got a bit of game time still left in him. But in terms of our selection for goalkeeper, Justin, it's got to be Hladký, ain't it?
Do you think I get nervous about Hladký, because he's having a really good season, and this has been his sole season as a first choice at Ipswich, and therefore his first season in Championship as well. So I am a little bit nervous, but considering his form, considering the amount of saves he's made, yes, he's made mistakes, but he's a goalkeeper who likes to take risks. Goalkeepers who take risks do make mistakes. Absolutely fully deserving of this place in the going to be unemployed come the summer 11.
Yeah, I think he will have a few suitors, it's got to be said, unless he does sign a new deal at Ipswich. But he's been one of the best keepers in the division this season. So the fact that he's possibly going to be available on a free in the summer, quite remarkable, really. Let's go into defence then, Justin. Quite a few names here. You weren't too impressed with the options here, but I've got to disagree with you. Some of these players, again, genuinely will be in the conversation for team of the season coming the end of the season. Who's top of your list here?
Well, the first one that stood out for me was Cedric Kipre, but I know he's been offered a new deal. I don't think he's signed it yet. From what I've read, he's not signed anything yet. Those talks were offered in February, and we're a month on, and nothing's been done. And I don't imagine anything will be signed until the summer. But I imagine he's going to have a lot of interest, because he has been one of the best defenders, best centre halves, or probably top top three, top four defenders in the league this season. West Brom have kept a lot of clean sheets, and that's, you know, a lot of people flew to a goalkeeper when keeping clean sheets, but it's also the defence, it's also your defensive shape and unit as well. And Kibre's been a big part of that under Carlos Corberan at the Hawthorns. So yeah, Kipre's the first name that came to mind. Deshaun Bernard's the other one. He signed a 1-year deal when he joined last summer. He's been brilliant over the last, well, since Danny Rule came in. From what I've read, there's no option to extend as well. He's 22, 23, so he's got a lot of years ahead of him as well. And he's a player that I would pick up on a free. He adds value in terms of his age. So there's my two I'll throw in.
Yeah, I think Kipre's the standout one, isn't he? Because he has been absolutely phenomenal for West Brom this season, maybe even their best player this season. And the fact that he is out of contract in the summer goes to show, first of all, how out of favour he was at West Brom, basically this time last year, and also that he's possibly just holding off a bit because he may be thinking, well, there may be other clubs sniffing around me, because it wouldn't surprise me if he's playing Premier League football next season. That's how good he's been. Still 27, I think I'm right in saying. So he's still got a few years left in the tank in him. So if West Brom don't manage to tie him down, it wouldn't surprise me if some top clubs are really having a look at him. I mean, when I say top clubs, I mean by Championship standards, you know what I mean. But yeah, I think he'll certainly be one who will catch the eye of quite a few people. Deshaun Bernard, yeah. Fair. He's been good for Sheffield Wednesday this season, but I think we could certainly do better. Yannick Vestergaard was one who caught my eye as someone who's out of contract. I've got to say, Justin, I was a bit alarmed at the number of big names who are out of contract at Leicester this summer when we were going through this list. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but Yannick Vestergaard, Wilfred Ndidi, Kelechi Iheanacho, Jamie Vardy, there may be a couple of others as well who I just haven't mentioned here, but that's a lot of players who Leicester may have to let go purely because of the, you know, the problems that they've been facing recently, which we've discussed.
Yeah, it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem. I don't expect those players to be playing in the Championship next season, so I don't expect Vestergaard to be remaining in the second tier for very long. Jamie Vardy, I'd expect him to retire, to be honest with you, if he can get Leicester up. Because he's still playing like he's 27. That's the other thing. And obviously, I think I saw you mentioned Kelechi Iheanacho. I just don't expect these players to be playing in the Championship next season, because they are very, very good players. You're absolutely spot on. Some players, as you say, are in contention for team of the season because they've been that consistent. And Vestergaard certainly is a pick of those.
Yeah, I imagine they're earning a fair wage as well. So if Leicester are trying to balance the books, then they may have to sacrifice the likes of Vestergaard and Ndidi, Iheanacho, Vardy, who I imagine must be earning a fair book as well. So yeah, quite concerning to see the players who are potentially heading out the door at Leicester this summer. Other players who caught my eye in defence, Justin, Paddy McNair.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Out of contract at Borough.
Mr. Versatile. He's always a good player when he gets going, isn't he? He's a really good player. But I think he's one of those players who's not put down a proper position, if you like. He's played right back, right centre back, central midfield. And he's just been shipped around everywhere. He's never really become a specialist. He's Phil Neville of the Championship football.
Yeah. McNair's just class, isn't he? It wouldn't surprise me if he decides to look around and shop around for another club in the summer. Other players, Cal Bartley, Cedric Kipre's defensive partner, he could be out the door. Interesting to see that Liam Cooper and Luke Ayling. Luke Ayling we knew was out of contract anyway, but Liam Cooper as well. That's an interesting one. Feels like a bit of an end of an era at Leeds there, doesn't it? But I mean, some of the fullback options, because we haven't mentioned many at fullback. Both of Norwich's left backs, Demetrius Giannoulis and Sam McCallum, both out of contract. Sam Byram at Leeds as well. He's another one who could be out the door. Jamie Lou Collins at Cardiff as well. If I had to push you then, Justin, I assume we're both saying Kipre at centre back. He's got to go in, hasn't he?
Yeah, easily, Sedges. Easily, he's such a good player. And when I saw that talks were taking place, I was surprised that they haven't been signed yet. But I imagine because he's been that good, his agent might be whispering in his ear that there might be some decent clubs and big offers coming in.
And then who are we going for the other centre back? It's got to be Vestergaard, hasn't it, based off how he's played this season.
If you're making a best 11 of free agents, got to throw Vestergaard.
Yeah, 100%. And then at fullback is a bit trickier because there aren't many standout ones. I mean, Sam McCallum, because of his age, someone I quite rate. And the fact that he's so young, will you be willing to chuck him in over Giannoulis?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, neither fullback, neither wingback can stay fit. I think that's a problem for him.
Yeah,
that's a huge problem for him. But at the end of the day, this is where I was thinking where the pickings were quite slim. I mean, Jamilo Collins is another one at Cardiff who came to mind. But again, he's a player who's picked up quite a few injuries. So in terms of left backs staying fit, we're slim pickings. But Sam McCallum, yeah, he's shown that if he can get going, he's a very good player. It's just about staying fit for him. He's a good wing back, good attacking wing back, but it's just about staying fit. But again, if he's the best around, got to go in.
Yeah, I'll go Sam McCallum. And then right back's a bit interesting. We've got Ayling, obviously getting on a bit now. Sam Byram has had a pretty good season, but that's mostly been at left back. What are we going for there? Are we maybe going to bend the rules a bit and put Paddy McNair at right back?
You know what? I think we can. Because the other players I've got are Jeremy Ngakia at Watford. Annoyingly, Danny McNamara came to mind, but Moore will never disclose the length of their contracts, which
yes.
makes this incredibly difficult because there's always good players on this list. But it's because Moore will never, ever disclose their contracts. So not going to put him in with any confidence because, again, he's a player who's fallen out of favour.
Mm.
But he's a good player. He's a very good player. He was very highly rated at one point. He's just dropped off a little bit. Sometimes fresh club, fresh surroundings can bring the best out of you. But yeah, for the sake of Millwall not being fair to us, let's put Paddy McNair right back.
Yeah, so the team, how it's looking so far, it's a pretty good team, really. Vaclav Hladký, Paddy McNair at right back, Vestergaard and Kipre at centre back, then Sam McCallum at left back. Pretty good going so far. There aren't many elderly statesmen in this team, as you usually expect in a kind of out-of-contract 11.
Yeah, we're avoiding them. But, I mean, we've got some injury problems at left-back, but yeah, I'm sure we can look past it.
Yeah. Let's go into midfield then, where I've got to say the standard is pretty incredible. Struggling for wingers a bit, but I'm sure we can work around that. Obviously, Wilfred Ndidi, someone I mentioned before, you'd be very surprised if he's still playing Championship football next season. Someone who's got to be one of the hottest properties in the summer, Justin, has got to be Coventry City's Callum O'Hare, hasn't it? I saw recently that Italian clubs are sniffing around him, which is quite interesting, but Callum O'Hare, he's going to be someone who's going to be interesting quite a few different parties this summer, I imagine.
I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. Come on, he's top quality, isn't he? I think there was obviously the proposed move to Burnley last season that never went through. There was the unfortunate couple of injuries he sustained as well, but he came back firing. You don't usually get that when a player comes back from a long-term knee injury. You don't normally get that. And for him to come back and for him to be firing as well as he was, it's a testament to him, it's a testament to Coventry as well. But unfortunately, yeah, he might be leaving the CBS this summer. I mean, if any club can pick him up on a free transfer, they've got a £10 million player at the very least. At the very least. He's such a good dribbler, and he creates so many chances. I think the only thing you've always been able to hold against him is his end product, or not his end product, actually. It's probably unfair. His ability to score more goals, essentially. But putting that aside, he's a player who gets into good areas and gets good players onto the ball in good areas. He hurts teams. Put him in.
Yeah, only 25 as well, so still got a lot of years to go. So you definitely be getting value if you do get him in. So I think Callum O'Hare is definitely going to fit into this team somewhere. Plus, we can put him on the wing as well, which, as mentioned, we are struggling for wingers a bit here. A couple of players who have had kind of born again seasons: Justin, Alex Mowat at West Brom, Alan Brown's another one as well. Who, interesting, Alan Brown, because he has had. He's probably had one of his best seasons in a long time, and it's all because he's out of contract at Preston.
Maybe.
So he's certainly someone who I think a lot of Championship clubs will have a close eye on, although he was linked with, bizarrely, Salernitana in Italy back in January.
Italian clubs sniffing around the Championship.
Apparently it is a thing. I can't remember where I read it. Someone did a piece on it in the past week where they said Italian clubs are looking at the Championship because they just think there's value here. And they're absolutely right, aren't they? Players like Alan Brown, if you get them on a free, would certainly do you a job. But anyway, that's beside the point. Chris Willock's a free. I know what you're going to say, Justin, but he's not been as good in the past couple of seasons as he has been before, if you know what I mean.
I think that's unfair. I think he was electric at the start of last season. And he picked up an injury. And then there was the World Cup break. Beal left. And things dropped off for him. And then he was playing under Gareth Ainsworth. So you can rule out any technical quality in that Gareth Ainsworth team because he just wasn't playing to it. So actually, six months of his QPR career just completely passed him by because the ball was literally passing him by. So I think it's a bit unfair. I would stick Chris Willick in there. I love Chris Willick. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player.
I'm not sure ahead of some of these players though, Justin. We'll go through the rest of them.
Let's see what we're cooking with before we chuck him in. But I will throw Chris Willick in there all day. Another name that I'm inevitably going to throw in is Keshi Anderson.
For God's sake, this guy.
It's Keshi Anderson.
Some of the talent in the championship this season, and you're still talking about Keshi fucking Anderson.
100%. Respect the guy, all right? You get him playing, you get him fit, he will score goals from distance. Yes, he will. I guarantee it. Joe Williams is another one that came to my head, you know. But mainly because, it's annoying, I keep saying this, for a lot of these players, if he stays fit, he's had a lot of hamstring issues, knee problems, etc. If he stays fit, he's a player who can be really, really good at the championship level. Really, really good, really aggressive midfielder, really good ball winner. But his injury record is not the best. The amount of games he's played over the years for Bristol City has not been too many either. So, but if you need legs in that midfield or you need a bit of bite, Joe Williams alongside Alex Mel, it looks a bit tidy.
Justin, if you want a bit of bite in midfield, then Sam Morsy, mate. Sam Morsy is out of contract this summer, which is pretty mad, really. One of the best midfielders in the division this season, of course, playing at the heart of that Ipswich team, has been the engine there. So the fact that he is currently available on a free, I think he was being linked with Saudi Arabia in the past year or so. So maybe that's something that'll be on the horizon for him, but I think he has also said that he would like to finish his career at Portman Road. So interesting to see what happens with him. And then final one for me is the Scottish Iniesta, Stuart Armstrong at Southampton, available on a free transfer. Another one who, if Southampton still are in the championship this next season, be surprised if he's hanging around, but still, he's one of those who, once he's come down to championship level, you start to appreciate how bloody good he actually is. So maybe someone to consider in this team, plus can play on the wing as well. So when we're putting this midfield together then, Justin, if we're going for a 4-4-2, just try and fit in as many players as possible, then I feel like we've got to put Wilfred Ndidi in, haven't we? Just because it's Wilfred Ndidi. He's too good for to be playing at this level, really. Callum O'Hare can play on the wing, can't he? He's got to go in. Who else are you siding towards? Sam Morsy?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is he's... I don't know. I feel like I'm thinking too FM about the Football Manager about this and thinking, he's 32. Would I want to sign him at 32? Has he got another season left in him? Because if he hasn't, I'd rather go with Alex Mowat. Because as you say, born again season from Alex Mowat, really, really good in that midfield shape as well. Because he's taken on a different role to the one he had at Barnsley when he really, really came on as a player in the championship. So I might side towards Mowat, but maybe I'm thinking a little bit too much about the practicality of the decision, shall we say.
I'm not completely against Alex Mowat being in the team, so we'll go with that. And then on the other wing, Stuart Armstrong or Chris Willock?
Keshi Anderson, sorry.
We're not considering Keshi Anderson.
It's really disregarding of you. I'm not going to lie to you. If I was going to throw somebody in, I think I'd pick Chris Willock over Stuart Armstrong. Purely on age.
Yeah, age, that's a big factor. If you can get him back to the player from 3 seasons ago, then you've got yourself one hell of a player. But he is still young. He's definitely still got
He's younger than Armstrong, isn't he? Yes, I think that's the thing that would push him ahead.
That's fine with me. Okay, so midfield of Callum O'Hare on one wing, Chris Willock on the other, Alex Marrott and Wilfred Ndidi in the middle of the park.
Solid. That is solid.
Very solid. I love it.
With a bit of sizzle. Ooh,
that's what we like. And then up top, Justin, we have quite a few big names. Plenty of these household names by championship standards. Of course, we've mentioned Kelechi Iheanacho already. Jamie Vardy as well. Will he retire? That's another question. I mean, let's talk about this, Justin. From a Leicester perspective, would you be giving out a new contract to old Vards?
If I can't sign anybody, yeah, I think I have to. Yeah, I know he's 37. He'll be 38 next season. But he's still the archetypal cliched fox in the box, isn't he? He's still getting on the end of chances. And if you do feed him good chances, then he's going to put them away. And as well as that, I think if Leicester are going to be up against it next season, you need some personality and characters in that dressing room. And my God, does Jamie Vardy have that in abundance? Because I think a big reason as to why Leicester struggle in the Premier League is because a lot of leaders left. Wes Morgan retired a couple of seasons before. Kasper Schmeichel left. They lost a lot of personality. And I think losing Jamie Vardy at the point where they're at now, Leicester, in terms of all these issues that they've got going on off the pitch, probably would be a mistake for them.
Yeah, I think you've got to give him a new deal, haven't you? Not just because of what he offers on the pitch, but more importantly, what he offers behind the scenes and the fact that it's Jamie Vardy who is a Leicester legend, isn't he? There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. So, yeah, I'd like to see him get a new deal, even though he is getting on a bit now. Shea Adams is another one who's out of contract, probably going to be playing in the Premier League next season, even though he's not had a great season
at
Championship level. He's not been first choice, has he? He's certainly been second choice behind Adam Armstrong, but still, you'd be surprised if he's still in the Championship next season. Anyone else who caught your eye up front, Justin? I mean, Aaron Connolly, Sam Gallagher, Tyrese Campbell were a few who are looked at, but I think it's got to be one of the first three who we mentioned.
You're probably right. I've been banging that Tyrese Campbell drum for so long now, and it just hasn't happened for him. So I'm thinking if he leaves Stoke and goes elsewhere, then we are going to get that 15, 20 goals that we've been aching for two or three years now. I know he's had his injury problem. Yes, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm in pain. It's like passing kidney stones waiting for Campbell to hit 15 goals, for goodness sake. He's a name that I would throw in there, but I don't think I'd put him in ahead of the likes of Shea Adams. Tom Bradshaw's an interesting one. But again, Millwall don't disclose contracts, but I have read that he's out of contract. I have seen several journalists suggest this, that it will be his last season, or potentially his last season at the Den, because I think he picked up an injury as well. And he's good for 9 goals in 9 games and going quiet for 20 games, and he's good for another 5 goals in 5 games. So if you need a spell striker or a backup, then Tom Brashford's a good shout. Liam Cullen's another one that came to my eye, but not really a first choice.
So are we going Iheanacho and Vardy? You happy with that?
I'd go Iheanacho and Shea Adams.
Ahead of Vardy, you got a Vardy in there for the vibes, Justin.
I know, but he's old. He's going to stay at Leicester.
He's going to
retire at the old Walkers Stadium, isn't he? So,
not the Walkers. It's not called that anymore.
It'll forever be the Walkers.
In your eyes, bring back Walkers. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Our team has been assembled. Our out of contract 11 for the summer. We've got Vaclav Hladký in goal. We've got Paddy McNair at right back, Yannick Vestergaard and Cedric Kipre at centre back, Sam McCallum at left back. Then in midfield, we have Callum O'Hare. We'll put him right wing for the sake of this. Chris Willock, left wing. Then Wilfred Ndidi, Alex Mowat in centre mid. Up front, Kelechi Iheanacho and Shea Adams. Quite the wage bill we've got there, Justin. But as I was alluding to at the top of the show, a lot of players there who will genuinely be in the conversation for team of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And money's no object to us. We're ballers, Ryan. We can afford anything. So we'll take this 11 into next season. We'll gamble for the Premier League and eventually put the club under.
Yep. And I'm not going to disagree with that at all. So there we go, Justin. That's been our out of contract 11. After this quick break, ladies and gentlemen, we will go through footballers our listeners have met in strange places and talk about some of the news from the past couple of days in the Championship.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. So we're going to be talking about some of the news from the Championship over the past couple of days. But first of all, Justin, it's time for another round of footballers our listeners have met in strange places. This first one is from Sam Rayburn, who's a QPR fan. He says, "Hi, boys. I work in golf and live in America." What a great life. And last year, I was invited to an Adidas golf day in LA. So I went and was being introduced to the other people there. And there was a guy who looked very familiar. He said, "Hi, I'm Jay." And it immediately clicked. Jay Bothroyd, the former footballer. And he sheepishly said, yes. And it turns out he spends almost all of his free time playing golf now. And he was very nice, was willing to answer all my QPR questions. And when asked how he ended up in Perugia, he said, "I jumped at the chance to play in Italy because why not? A really great guy, even if he wasn't that great at Rangers. Cheers." I like that, Justin. It's the perfect mix of kind of cult-ish kind of player It's a strange place as well. Perfectly down to the tee.
It's incredibly random.
And the pun wasn't intended there.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, it's incredibly random. Incredibly random. And Bothroyd, what's he doing in America? He's playing golf all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to know because he's doing a lot of punditry over here now as well. He does a fair bit. So he's, you know, is he living ever in America? Is he living over here? I've got questions. I'll never get answered. But that was a lovely little anecdote.
He's also one of those players who has played in some really weird countries. He's had a bit of a strange career as old Jay Bothroyd.
He was really prolific in Japan. And also he's an England international.
Yeah. I completely forgot he played for England. Of course he did. I also think, one final little bit of trivia on him, I think he's blocked us on social media.
Go on. Thought something. No, it's fine. It's fine. Carry on. I'm not going to divulge.
Well, you've left us on tenterhooks now.
No, I think I remember when we put out a clip of one of his goals and... I think it got our account suspended temporarily. That's all.
That was a long time ago. Just don't talk about that anymore. Yeah. But for some reason, he's blocked us on Twitter, formerly known as MySpace. And I don't really know why, because I've checked back and I don't think we've ever said anything negative about him. But nonetheless, he's now blocked us anyway. Well, yes, now we can, because he won't know. This next one, this is from Various Camden. He says, "Evening, virgins. In the early 2010s, myself and a couple of mates had a short-lived online bar supplies business. An order was received from one Grant Leadbitter from a Suffolk address. As an Ipswich fan, I took the opportunity to call him, thank him for his custom, and give him and any of the other players a discount code. He was really friendly, if a somewhat bemused chap, and he was happy to talk a bit about footy and told me he was building a bar at his house. I revelled in telling anyone who would listen that I was confident he'd be a town player for a good while with this inside knowledge. He promptly left for Middlesbrough on a free transfer about 2 months later." But good stuff, Justin. I tell you what, this has always been a dream of mine, to build a bar in my own home. I don't know about you.
It's never really crossed my mind, but you don't. Judging by Grant Leadbitter's project management, he didn't enjoy it that much. He left after 2 months, so maybe it's not all it's made out to be.
You're probably right, but I'm glad Various Camden here had a nice time supplying Grant Leadbitter, and hopefully it doesn't say something about how well the business did, that it's not only out of business now, but Grant Leadbitter thought it wasn't that good after 2 months, but there you go. But thank you for getting in touch, Various Camden. And if you do have a suggestion for a footballer you have met in a random place, please email us at secondtierpod@gmail.com. And I'm sure we'll read it out very soon. Let's go to some of the news from the past few days then, Justin. And we'll kick this off with this. Former Norwich sporting director Stuart Webber has apologised after an interview where he suggested several black players he worked with could have ended up in prison had they not been successful at football. Speaking to the Norwich local newspaper, the Eastern Daily Press, he said, "We want to help the guys who really need it, not the ones who are maybe privileged. I saw that with our young footballers. Johnny Rowe wouldn't mind me saying it, but him, Abu Kamara, Max Aarons, Jamal Lewis, Raheem Sterling back in the day at Liverpool, where they come from, it had to work out for them in football because the alternative is potentially jail or something else." Weber is now understood to have contacted the families of those players to apologise. Kick It Out has called the comments deeply offensive and concerning in a statement it said to reads such callous language being used by someone who until recently was a senior executive at the top of the English game paints a very damning picture. Justin, these comments, they're so sickly, aren't they? It's just really left a sour taste in my mouth reading this.
Yeah, they just lack any degree of intelligence, really. I mean, he does have previous about making minus comments, Stuart Webber. I'm referring to his comments when he said he's not interested in women's football. You know, the comments he doesn't have to make.
Let me give a bit of context to that, Justin, because you are right. He's no stranger to crass comments like this. This was just as Norwich's women's team were starting to gain a bit of momentum with regards to establishing themselves in the community, where Webber went on to say in an interview that the quality of women's football was really poor and said that's not being unfair, it's just factually correct. In that same interview, he said women's football wasn't of interest to him, which is not what you want to hear from the sporting director of the football club about their own women's team. And then also, when being urged to resign last year, he said, "I'd never move on because of, without being rude, a few divorcees in a snake pit abusing me." So, as I say, no stranger to this kind of controversy and just coming across as a massive tit whose recent record as a sporting director is very questionable in itself. I don't think that's, you know, anything to do with this, but it's just not a good look at all.
No, it is, and as I say, he's resorting to lazy stereotyping, and he's always taking credit for the success of these players as well, which I don't think is the case. You can't be sat there doing that. I think it's disrespectful to the families of these players, whether or not they had a bad upbringing in and around a bad place or not. Suggesting that here, you know, football was the get out for them, I think it's completely inaccurate. As I say, it's just mindless, it's inaccurate, it's lacking any intelligence. And as the Kick It Out statement said, the fact that a former sporting director at the top of the game in this country is saying this is really deeply concerning. There is a real lack of diversity as well in football leadership already in England. And comments like this just underline why that is such a big issue. Because attitudes like this go completely unchecked. It's a big concern. Big concern.
Yeah, 100%. Really is. And got to be said, his latest comments have probably killed off his chances of getting a job anytime soon. And I'll tell you what, I'm not disappointed about that, because what he said is utterly disgusting and he does seem like an absolute penis. Let's move on to this, Justin. This is Sunderland's Dan Neil. He says the Sunderland players have to take responsibility for the season's implosion. Speaking to the Northern Echo, he said it just hasn't gone our way this year and we need to look at ourselves for that. We need to take some accountability. The mentality is still there within the group and we are going to keep fighting. What do you think about that, Justin? It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's obviously been a lot of factors to Sunderland imploding, in quotation marks, this season. Do you think it's the players?
Ooh, I think he's probably been a bit harsh on himself and the players, to be honest with you. I think, firstly, they are very mature comments from a young individual. I think you've got to point that out there. So hats off to Dan Neil for fronting up, essentially. He doesn't have to take responsibility for it, because I don't think it's down to him or the players. They're a young group. They're a very young group. Young players are going to get complacent. They're going to make mistakes. I like that he wants to take accountability, but those recruiting for the squad, those taking leadership for recruiting for the squad, should have injected some experienced leaders in the team last summer, as well as having a solid succession plan after Tony Mowbray. That's where the problems have really come a crop for Sunderland. As well as that, I think another big thing that gets overlooked a lot is the club lost some big personalities last summer. Danny Bart, Lyndon Gooch, Ross Stewart, Bailey Wright. Some of them might not have been regulars, but they're big personalities. They're experienced leaders in that dressing room. And unfortunately, the club replaced them with children in football terms. And I just don't think it was a wise thing to do in hindsight.
Yeah, I think he's correct to an extent. because there were several players who haven't kicked on as much as you would have expected this season, namely Pierre Ecuor. I think Patrick Roberts is another one as well. There's probably a few others, but they're the two who stood out to me initially. You could also point the finger at pretty much all of the new signings as well, bar Joe Bellingham, but even he's had his ups and downs. I mean, when I say that, it's easy to forget. They spent over £2 million on the striker Nazari Rusin, who's done next to nothing this season, despite having plenty of chances. And then Jensen Seelt, who's a young Dutch defender, he cost nearly £2 million, has mainly been a bit part player. So, you know, they've spent a fair bit of money this season and they haven't really seen the return from the new signings. But having said that, obviously, if they have a season as bad as they have done with recruitment, then fingers definitely have to be pointed at those in charge of bringing those players in. So while Neil is right, to some extent, the players have to take some of the blame for how this season's gone wrong. After all, they are the ones on the pitch. So I do think he's right, but there's definitely bigger factors at play here, namely the Mick Beale thing. I think that's the big one here, but I mean, their recruitment, just so many different things have gone wrong for Sunderland this season, haven't they? Let's go to this story, which is just strange. Norwich striker Ashley Barnes has been banned from attending horse racing meetings in the UK. It's because he did not cooperate with a British horse racing authority investigation. There hasn't been any further details about what that investigation was, but what a random story, Justin.
What was he doing? What was he doing?
What was he doing?
It's incredible, actually, as well. I mean, was he trying to race these horses? I feel like he comes across as a guy who would break into stables in the evening and try and race his horses. I'm not going anywhere weird with that. Try and race his horses. You know, try and front the horses up because he's a battering ram himself. I don't know where I'm going with that because there's no context to this story and I'm trying to fill it with something mildly visual for the listener. I mean, yeah, it's a struggle.
It's just balmy. Like, we need further details on this, but that's exactly what's happened. I think the story came around because someone noticed Ashley Barnes' name was added to this bans list for the horse racing authority. And then someone contacted them and said, is that Ashley Barnes the footballer? And they said, yes, it is. And we haven't got any more details about it other than this. It's just really, really strange, but I'm enjoying it at the same time because it is just so random. And the final bit of news that we'll touch on, Justin, is Hull City. They've lost a mid-season friendly against the Caribbean nation Curacao, who are managed by none other than former Holland and Sunderland manager. I was going to say Holland and Sunderland manager Dick Advocaat. In fairness to Hull, it was pretty much a second string team, but still, what on earth? First of all, why are they playing against national teams?
Why not? I think we should see more of this. It's like FIFA, isn't it? I mean, fair play to Dick Advocaat as well for basically being the Neil Warnock of the international environment. Mm. He goes in, he firefights, and as well as that, that's a good gig. He's out on a Caribbean nation. It's his retirement gig, essentially. You know, Neil Warnock went up to Aberdeen and Dick Advocaat's gone to the Caribbean. Look at that. I've got nothing really much to add on Hull City playing Curacao, other than let's see more of this international domestic, you know, infiltration.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think I'll be all for it as well, because as you say, it is like FIFA. You don't see these games happening pretty much ever. So I applaud Hull City for breaking the mould a bit. And you are right as well about Dick Advocaat having a pretty nice retirement gig by, you know, lazing around in Curacao. It's not too bad, is it? Well, I don't know if he is or not. Did you watch, there was a film out recently, I can't remember what it was called. It's about American Samoa.
The team that lost 31-0 to Australia.
Yes, that team.
I haven't seen it. No.
There was a film out recently and throughout the whole thing, they're painting it as like, they got an American manager, I think. Yeah. Or was he Dutch? Was he German?
It was Michael Fassbender, the actor.
Yes, he was playing him, and he wasn't the person managing them. But in this film, they were like talking about how the manager was so frustrated about how he was, you know, having to manage the American Samoa national team, and he was like, "Oh, he's having such a tough time." And I was like, "He's managing in the Pacific on this beautiful island, and they're painting it like it's an absolute disaster for this person." And that's kind of how I feel like maybe Dick Advocaat's feeling.
Yeah, there are worse places to be. He's managed pretty much in every country, just about.
Yeah, and I'm just sure looking at it now. He's managed the South Korean national team, the Belgian national team, United Arab Emirates, Holland, Serbia, and pretty much some big teams as well. Obviously, Sunderland we mentioned, PSV, AZ, some big clubs. So
very
you know
clubs.
What? Not, but he is the Dutch Neil Warnock, isn't he?
He's the Dutch Neil Warnock. He's the international Warnock. Is old Dick dicking around out in the Caribbean?
Considering 3 years ago he was managing Iraq, I think he's got a better gig now. We'll put it that way. Anyway, we'll leave that there, shall we, Justin? This has been the Second Tier Podcast, and we'll be back again tomorrow with the previous show sponsored by SBK as we make our predictions and look ahead to the round of games on Good Friday. So we look forward to seeing you then. But as I say, this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.